From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The Chino plant, at the heart of the biggest beef recall in U.S. history, may be shut down for good. A top official of the Westland Hallmark Meatpacking Company said so to the Wall Street Journal over the weekend. The scandal involving one of the biggest suppliers of beef to the school lunch program has lawmakers in Washington and in Sacramento worrying about the safety of the nation's meat supply. State lawmakers hold a hearing today, as KPCC's Julie Small reports.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture shut down the Westland Hallmark Meat Company in Chino this month after the Humane Society released an undercover video recorded inside the plant. The footage showed employees using forklifts, hoses, and electric prods to propel cattle apparently too sick to walk to the slaughterhouse. State and federal food safety laws banned that practice. The USDA later ordered Westland to recall 143 million pounds of meat it had processed over the last 2 years, and the agency is investigating the company further. Dean Flores, who chairs the state Senate Select Committee on Foodborne Illness, wants to know why both federal and state officials failed to detect the illegal slaughter of so-called downer cattle. Flores has asked officials from the California Department of Public Health and the Department of Food and Agriculture to come up with a plan for preventing future violations. The Kern County Democrat has also proposed one of his own. He wants the state to require meat plants to post cameras just outside slaughterhouse pens to make sure cattle are on all fours. Westland installed such cameras only after the USDA shut down its plant. The company declined to send a representative to the hearing. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small in Sacramento.
Later this week on Thursday, a U.S. Senate Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee takes up the issue. The Secretary of Agriculture and the head of the American Meat Institute Foundation are expected to attend. Since the end of the Vietnam War, Vietnamese immigrants have found sanctuary in the U.S., many settling in California. Once here, they couldn't be sent back to Vietnam, either because they were war refugees or because the communist nation was unwilling to take them back. No longer. After a decade of negotiations, the U.S. and Vietnamese governments have reached a deal, allowing the U.S. to send some 1,500 immigrants living here illegally back to their home country. LA Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports on the strong reactions in the Orange County neighborhood known as Little Saigon.
Tree Tran says he can't sleep at night. When someone knocks on his door, he says he tiptoes to his bedroom and hides. Tran is waiting to be deported. Last month, the U.S. government announced it would remove Vietnamese immigrants living in the U.S. illegally if they arrived in the country after July of 1995. Tran arrived here from Vietnam in September of 1995. Tran nervously fidgets with his cell phone as he sits outside a coffee shop in Orange County's Little Saigon neighborhood. He says if he's deported, his three-year-old daughter will lose her father.
I'm very scared. If I go back to Vietnam, I lost my wife and my daughter. That's why I don't want to go back to Vietnam. I want to stay here.
Tran first received a notice of deportation in 2000 after he was convicted of a crime. Tran was caught trafficking drugs and later served 4 years in a state prison. This is something he hasn't told his wife about, but he knows it's a secret whose days are numbered. Tran's not the only one who's scared. On a recent morning, hundreds of Vietnamese immigrants pack a community center in Little Saigon to ask immigration attorneys questions about the new deportation agreement between the U.S. and Vietnam. Like Tran, many of them in the audience who are affected by this agreement received their deportation notices after they were convicted of a crime.
The first question that we got was, how do I know if I have a removal or deportation order?
The immigration attorneys answering questions say they've received hundreds of calls in recent weeks from worried Vietnamese immigrants, many who have deportation orders but aren't included in this agreement because they came here before 1995. Attorney Kim Liu says they should be worried. She says the government may someday extend the agreement to include the more than 6,000 Vietnamese with deportation orders who came to the U.S. before 1995.
I think that the U.S. government may compel the Vietnamese government to take on more deportees because their goal is to deport all removal aliens by 2012. It's a lofty goal, but at the same time, I think it's very much possible.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement spokeswoman Kelly Nantel says she doesn't foresee this particular agreement reaching beyond those immigrants who came here before 1995, the year the U.S. and Vietnam reestablished diplomatic ties. Either way, she says, it's important to understand that all Vietnamese immigrants with removal orders have broken the law.
Our country is a nation of laws. There is a process by which to immigrate to the United States through a legal way. Individuals who don't come to our country, through following that legal process, know that there's potential consequences that they'll be returned to their home country.
These deportations come as the U.S. strengthens its economic ties to Vietnam. From 2006 to 2007, imports from Vietnam to the U.S. more than doubled. Still, returning immigrants to a country whose human rights record the U.S. State Department recently labeled unsatisfactory is baffling to many. Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren, a Democrat from San Jose, joined 12 other lawmakers in condemning the agreement in a letter sent to U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff.
I don't understand why they would do such a thing. I mean, the United States has, for its history, established itself as kind of the beacon of light and hope for the world. That's why we accept refugees. It's why we have a political asylum system. You know, we're supposed to be the country that stands for freedom. So this is a radical departure from our past policies.
In a popular coffee house in Little Saigon, groups of elderly Vietnamese men stir their coffee, smoke, and chat. Though they share hatred for the government in Hanoi, many of them are fine with deporting people they call lawbreakers. Lac Tan Nguyen spent 2 years in a communist re-education camp before escaping Vietnam. He says the Vietnamese immigrants facing deportation shouldn't have taken their freedom in the U.S. for granted.
I think everybody will feel okay if they have to be deported to Vietnam or to any other country because they really they abuse. Okay, the freedom here. They really don't know, you know, the value of the freedom here.
Nguyen says ideally the government could give this group of Vietnamese immigrants a second chance to stay in the U.S., but he says sooner or later people who commit crimes need to learn their lesson. The U.S. government will begin deporting around 1,500 Vietnamese immigrants at the end of next month. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz.
That's the California Report for Monday, February 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org.